Right, so maybe we should start this podcast off with an explanation. It's not that I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to making podcasts or anything like that. I think the problem is that, one, I lack time, and I'm getting emails all over the place, and two, I don't know what kind of podcast I want to make. The original first episode for Mediocre Podcast, which is this podcast, was like an NPR-style podcast. It had my brother on it, and we were recording stuff, and we were talking about DMCAs and copyright, but it's incredibly dry, and, you know, adding music and doing things like that. And it was, if I was in college and I was trying to get a job at NPR, that podcast would probably help me get there. But I'm not, and I don't really particularly want to work for NPR. Although, that'd be an awesome experience. So hit me up, boys, one of these days. Come on. So instead, this first episode is going to be something completely different. I think having more of an improv, talking once or twice a week into the microphone might be more fun, and it might be better for you guys, or at least this is a good place to start. So, this week I want to talk about an experience I had in radio, being a college radio DJ, and how somebody was pointed out in court because of it. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Mediocre Podcast, a mediocre look at the media and its core aspects. On this episode, we're talking about college radio fan mail, and DJ Boskov. So, what I was talking about at the top of the show is that I used to be a radio DJ back when I was in college. Both the places I went to school, I was a radio DJ. One was a little bit more successful than the other. I used to go by the name of DJ Tank and DJ Ricky Rebel. Ricky Rebel was my very first DJ name, and it was just something out of the blue. It was kind of random, but I really liked the name Ricky, and it was a good friend of mine's brother's name. So I was like, yeah, you know, Ricky Rebel, why not? I kind of wanted to be like a punk rock DJ from like the 90s, which Ricky Rebel, DJ Rick, was also a big DJ here in the Wichita market. And so I was kind of piggybacking off of that as well. However, that only lasted for one semester at this community college, which I went to for 5 semesters. You don't traditionally go to community college for 5 semesters, but I did. For a lot of reasons that we'll get into another time. But everything changed when I started hanging out with this guy named Javonte. And Javonte's radio show was just awesome. The way he did everything, the way that people actually interacted with him on the air, it was insane. For those of you who don't know, college radio and radio in general right now, the interaction is pretty much at an all-time low. Podcasts have really filled the radio market. Whereas now you have people like Todd and Tyler or the Michael Mara show still broadcasting over the air in some places. But it's also a podcast that you can get on your app. Right? So people aren't, these podcast creators and these creators aren't associated with the actual radio station. Whereas when you're in college radio, you're only on usually one station. So Javonte's radio name was Boskov, and I don't remember if it was DJ Boskov or just Boskov, but his whole thing was just awesome, and he really opened my eyes to what a really good radio show should be. Here's how a normal radio show would go. If you were listening to me when I was Ricky Rebel at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Tuesdays and Thursdays, I would open up the show by saying, hey, this is DJ Ricky Rebel. Today we're going to play some Rancid, some Bad Religion. We're going to talk about NOFX later in the show. But right now, let's hear some Bouncing Souls. It's very shock jockey, very, like, not modern at all. So you hit the button, you play the music. When the music's done, you go, that was the Bouncing Souls. Up next is Rancid, and you press the play button and you play Rancid. Boskov's radio show is completely different. I sat in one night, and first off, he was getting fan mail out the ass from people all over the place, but mostly in the maximum security prison down the street from the school. This school is like from a supervillain. Like, if you were going to write, like, this is the most evil school in the world, because across the street is an oil refinery, down the street is the county jail, and further down the street is the maximum security jail. And you're just like, what? Where am I? And to top it all off, the McDonald's was 24 hours inside, which I feel like is the only saving grace in that town, other than the donut shop that opened at 2 o'clock in the morning and fed every drunk and high college student there in that town. Had some really good times there, actually. It's like, but anyways, so he was getting letters from everyone. Everyone in that prison loved his show. I don't know what he did and how this started, really, but I sat in on one of his shows one night, and so how his show went compared to the differences in my show is that he would start off with an intro of some kind, but I think the intro was pre-made. I think that he had either he pre-recorded it, like, this is DJ Boskov, like, you know, like the crap you would hear on Celestial, on satellite radio or local radio today. Celestial is supposed to mean both satellite, AM and FM radio, but those are terms that are kind of dead anyways. But anyways, and not only did he have some show production at the beginning of the show, but at the end of the show, or not at the end of the show, during him talking, he would have a music track underneath. And all of this is running off his laptop that he, during the week, would collect the songs that these prisoners or other people wanted, and he would find a way to download them legally, I feel like I'm required to say. And whether it was or wasn't, I don't have the knowledge to say it was or wasn't, so I'm going to guess it's legally. Don't want to get in trouble here or there. But so Boskov had this undertrack that he would talk over, and he would have the songs that he had gathered throughout the week from various people's fan mail that they sent in, and he would put it all inside Sony Vegas, which is a video editing software, and he would just play, he'd set down 2 minutes of under music, then the next song, or in the other song after that, and then another 2 minutes where he would talk and do things like that. He wouldn't only just say what music was coming up next and things like that. He was really a better DJ than a lot of people gave him credit for, because he did talk about a lot of other things. Like, I didn't listen to every show. I wasn't always there, but he did talk about some current events. He talked about things that he thought was messed up. He liked some jokes here and there. You know, he made the show interesting for the people listening. And when you listen to college radio nowadays, you don't get a lot of that unless you find someone who's really motivated to do that, right? In Kansas especially, because this is where this is all happening. It's happening in Kansas. I'm not going to say which part, but you could probably figure it out. There's not many college radio stations in Kansas, especially for community colleges. But, you know, Boskov's show really opened my eyes. And there was one episode in particular where I sat in, and I had a moment where I knew exactly what the person writing the letter meant, but I don't think Boskov did. And this is the best thing ever. So, you know, I was sitting in, just hanging out with him. And sometimes, from time to time, you'd read fan mail in the air, as long as it didn't have any profanity in it, as long as it's not telling people to do something. You got to be very careful about what you read, especially when you're going out to prisoners. So Boskov would, and this is so, so the the letter that was written to him, I don't remember half the letter, but the end of it was what I remember. It sticks in my head. So Boskov is reading it. He's going through it. And I'm like, yeah, this guy seems pretty cool. He's all right. Like, he's in prison, but he's all right. And at the very end, he goes, I want to dedicate your next song. I want you to dedicate it to the person who pointed me out in court. And he said that on the air. And I kind of sat there. I was like, oh. And Boskov, it didn't even hit him. So the next moment, he's just like, all right, this one goes out to that guy who called you out in the court. And he just pressed play, and the music went. And he turned off our microphones. And I was like, I don't think you could say that over the air. Like, what do you mean? It's like, well, I mean, that's someone pointing you out in court, dude. And he looked at me, and he thought for a moment. And then he realized what he had said. He goes, oh, I thought he meant the b-ball court. It's just, we both just started laughing a little bit, because you can't take it back. It's live radio. You can't take it back. The only saving grace we had, and I'm sure all these prisoners were laughing their ass off too. The only saving grace we had is that Boskov's show was at 8 o'clock at night on a Friday night. And no one from the station was listening to him. He was an experienced DJ. You know, he's getting a lot of fan mail, so he's doing something correct, or at least something that people like. And it was like the middle of the semester, so at that point, people weren't listening in to check to make sure for quality control or anything like that. So, I think Boskov came on air after that and talked about it. It's like, oh, I thought you meant b-ball court, man. Oh man. Anyways, here's the next song, or something like that. But it's infamous in my mind because that kind of humor, that kind of show, that it was entertaining. It was, how can a college kid entertain probably like 100 to 200 people at a maximum security prison? Because not every prisoner had a radio. Not every, you know, the radios weren't on at every wing. We don't know. I purposely did not go out to find out, but his show was really what I wanted to create when I took over his slot after he graduated, because he graduated at the end of that year, end of my first year. So I created the persona DJ Tank. And at first, my persona, because I fell in love with hip-hop from an early age, hip-hop and punk rock, and so I have a really weird music taste and look at the world because of where I lived and the things that I went through. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to continue this show on. A lot of people like it. And even Boskov, he told me, he's like, hey, you should take over that slot because I think it's going to be, you know, good for you to do. And I think you could probably take care of it. I was like, hell yeah, I'll take care of it. No problem, dude. I'll take it. So walking in there, I knew exactly what people were going to want from me. They were going to want hip-hop, they were going to want some quality, and they were going to want some entertainment. And the first couple shows were a little rocky. If you check out my YouTube channel right now, you can read what you can hear me reading a fan letter that I got, which is one of the first ones I got. It's from a guy named Taz, and there's a big picture of a clown with a bullet through its head. It's beautiful. Check out my YouTube channel, TimMTV on YouTube. You can't miss it. I'm the big guy with a red Hemley on reading a letter in a hotel room. That's a long story. It's in that video. Check it out. But as soon as I started realizing what these guys wanted, I devised a way to make that on my own. And it's because of Boskov, it's because of Gervonta, that I figured out how to have a successful radio show. And I ended up, at the end of the year, with over 120 letters. And I'm sure there's still some letters sitting there at the station for me. But throughout that next year, I would create this radio show that If radio shows could go viral in prisons, it did. Because I got letter after letter saying people are like, it's their whole week. It's what they look forward to. It's what they wanted to hear. And when I realized what was actually happening and I stopped getting drunk on my radio shows, because that was something I did quite a bit as well, I wanted to carry on the legacy of that show. And after I left, someone else took over that show and they did the same thing. And I'm hoping, like, I haven't been to that community college in a while. And I don't know if Boscov was the first one to do it. He could not have been, you know. That could have been a historic, like, slot that's been there for a long time. But I like to think that Gervonta and Boscov, he was the one that really showed me what good radio could be and how influential it could be and how influential it was. It was almost like a real-life history lesson. Because radio nowadays, you turn it on when your phone dies. You turn it on when you can't access Spotify through your car, right? Satellite radio killed local radio. Being part of this station, talking to Gervonta, watching him do his show, and learning the tools of the trade showed me that, like, you can do whatever you want in life. But you need to respect the history and you need to put your all into it. Because he helped me take my show from, hey, this is DJ Tank, here's Rancid, to having a show open, having under music, having planned segments, playing requested music, reading fan mail, and bringing a whole show instead of it being just somebody on the air. He showed me that even though this was an obligation, because it was part of our scholarships to do this, the obligation didn't have to be horrible. It didn't have to be painful. It didn't have to be boring. So, all this rambling, this is all out to you, Gervonta, wherever you are right now. Who knows if you'll ever hear this. But if you do, man, thank you for everything you did. Thanks for being a cool roommate. I don't know if I was a cool roommate 100% of the time. I think you saw me butt-ass naked a couple times. Oh, well. But thanks, man. Appreciate everything you do. And that's it for this episode of the Mediocre Podcast. We take a mediocre look at the media. This first episode was a little weird, but you know, it's mediocre, dude. Come on, get with it. I don't know what to say. I'm trying my best to get more content out and get more of these podcast episodes out. I would love to hear from you guys as well. Do you have a radio DJ experience? Do you have experience with listening to radio in prison or in real life? Are you a little bit older and you remember growing up and listening to something in either the Wichita area, the Kansas area, or somewhere else? I want to hear about your radio experiences. Next week, I'm thinking we're going to take a look at a shit show. Not the comic, although the shit show comic that I just ordered, it's on my way and I'm super excited to get it. Adam Barnhart is the writer. I interviewed him on the Collector's Maze. You should check that out. But I think next week we'll take a look at video shit shows and some shoots that went horribly, horribly wrong. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. You can find me on Twitter at TimMTV18. I need to change the number at the end because I realize that makes me seem like a porn account. Or maybe that's just kind of part of the fun, right? Oh, well. Anyways, you guys have a wonderful night. You can always catch me on Twitter. And thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. That was the Mediocre Podcast, the mediocre look at media and some of its core aspects. This episode, we took a look at radio, college radio in particular. If you want to hear this track in its full, you can find it on Spotify or on SoundCloud. Just look up the name Punk Nub, P-U-N-K-N-U-B. Until next time, folks, have a great night.